by the great mercy of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we had this sacred experience floating together along the Ganges, chanting the holy names of the Lord, to this holy place, one of the nine islands of Navadvip, which is called Modadrumadvip. And there is great history to this place. It is explained in Srinavadvip Mahatmyam that when Lord Sri Ramchandra was in exile with Sita and Lakshman, they came to this part of Navadvip, and here they resided for some time. One day while here, Lord Ram had a very special smile upon his beautiful moon-like face. And Sita Devi inquired from him, and he explained that in the coming Kali Yuga, I will appear in my most munificent and merciful incarnation of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And I will spread love of God freely through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. I will appear in Mayapur Dham from the womb of Sachi Devi in the house of Jagannath Mishra. When I am a child, my pastimes will be so charming that they will conquer the hearts of all those who hear them. And during my youthful pastimes, I will be such a great scholar like the world has never seen. And when I propagate the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna, I will dance and sing with my devotees and inundate the world with a flood of love of God. Let me tell you something else. I will leave this dham of Navadvip and take sannyas. After I take sannyas, my poor mother Sachi, who at that time will be a widow, will be so grief-stricken. She will be immersed in separation from me, and my wife, whose name will be Vishnupriya, she will hold my mother in her arms, and she will also suffer the separation of the loss of her husband. When Sita heard this, she asked Lord Ram, why do you want to do this to your mother, cause her so much suffering? And why would you want to leave your wife in this way? Lord Ram explained that there are two types of ecstasies in transcendental love. One is sambhog, or being united with your beloved, and one is vipralamba, the ecstasy of separation. And the most extraordinarily intensified ecstasy of love of God is within the mood of separation. Within that separation, one's remembrance and one's affection for one's beloved increases millions-fold. And then, when there is a meeting, the ecstasy of that meeting is greater than it could ever have been without separation. In this way, Lord Ramchandra explained the very inner secret of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, where he himself will come in the mood of ecstatic separation from Lord Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Lord Ram told Sita that in this incarnation, you will be my wife, Vishnupriya. And my mother now, Kausalya, she will appear as Sachi Devi in this very holy land of Navadvip, which is the supreme of all holy places. In fact, in this Modadrumadvip, Ayodhya is present in the holy dham. One very special feature of this particular place in Navadvip is that some of the most celebrated and important associates of Lord Chaitanya resided here. The place that we are now sitting is the place of the birth of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. In fact, it is here that he wrote Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Srivas Thakur had three brothers, and the son of one of his brothers gave birth to a beautiful girl named Narayani. She was Srivas's niece. This Narayani, when she was only 5 years old, she became one of the dearmost associates of Lord Chaitanya. He would regularly feed him his own Mahaprasad with his own hands. Narayani was famous amongst all the devotees as the little girl who always received the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad. And when she would take his Mahaprasadam, by Lord Chaitanya's grace, her heart would become filled with ecstatic love. On several occasions, Lord Chaitanya told little five-year-old Narayani to chant the holy names of Krishna in ecstasy, and she would begin to weep, manifesting the symptoms of a paramhamsa. Her limbs would tremble and she would fall to the ground, crying out the holy names of Krishna. Narayani was married when she was very young, and her wedding took place here in this part of Modadrumadweep, which is called Mamugachi. And she resided here. And by her husband, she conceived a child. And while the child was still in the womb of his mother, the husband of Narayani departed from this world. So she became a widow. Now, just close to here, where we will be going next, is the house of the great saint Vasudev Dat. Vasudev Dat was such a compassionate and loving devotee. We will describe just a drop of the ocean of compassion of his character when we go to his home. But he personally arranged for the maintenance of Narayani when she was a widow. And when she gave birth to a child, that child was none other than the incarnation of Vedavyas, whose name is Vrindavan Das Thakur. According to Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna's Leela in the spiritual world, there is a cowherd boy named Kushamapida. And Vrindavan Das Thakur was an avatar of Kushamapida, the cowherd boy. And at the same time, Vedavyas also entered into his transcendental form. So he was the mixed incarnation of these two great personalities. Vrindavan Das Thakur was very much raised and educated by Srila Vasudev Dat. He took birth just about 4 years after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas and left Navadvip. But being here in Navadvip, he was always hearing the glories of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So from his very birth, hearing the glories of the Lord from Vasudev Dat, and Vasudev Dat's brother was Mukunda Dat, the favorite kirtan singer of all the devotees. So he was always hearing the glories of Lord Sri Chaitanya. So he surrendered his life from his very infancy to Lord Chaitanya. In fact, it is considered by the acharyas that because Narayani was so purified by eating the prasad of Lord Chaitanya himself, Lord Chaitanya personally arranged for Vedavyas himself to take birth within her womb. So he wanted to take initiation from Lord Chaitanya, but when he was still young, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, and therefore he took shelter of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And here in Mamgachi, Vrindavan Das Thakur became one of the dearest followers of Lord Nityananda. And as he was dear to Lord Nityananda, he was similarly very dear to Janaka Devi, the consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, in the Bhakti Ratnakara, it describes when Janaka Devi went to Kechari for the big Gaur Purnima festival, and he invited devotees from all around. Janaka Devi personally came through Navadvip to come and bring Vrindavan Das Thakur with her. And there were two of the very, very elevated and senior presiding devotees at that festival. It was here in the place that we are sitting that Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Originally, it was known as Chaitanya Mangal. But later on, Lochan Das Thakur also wrote a book called Chaitanya Mangal. So the great devotees decided, because Vrindavan Das Thakur is actually Veda Vyas, and his writing is non-different than the Srimad Bhagavat of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Veda Vyas wrote Srimad Bhagavat, and in this incarnation he is writing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So they renamed it Chaitanya Bhagavat. To get a glimpse in the glories of this wonderful, most important contribution to Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, I would like to read what Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, has to say about Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mangal. This is from Adi Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the independent supreme personality of Godhead, is greatly magnanimous. Unless one worships him, one can never be liberated. O fools! Just read Chaitanya Mangal. By reading this book, you can understand all the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat was originally entitled Chaitanya Mangal. But when Srila Lochan Das Thakur later wrote another book named Chaitanya Mangal, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur changed the name of his own book, which is now therefore known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. The life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very elaborately described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has already informed us that in his book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he described whatever Vrindavan Das Thakur has not mentioned. This acceptance of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami indicates his acceptance of the disciplic succession. A writer of transcendental literature never tries to surpass the previous acharyas. Translation. As Vyasadeva has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavan Das has depicted the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Thakur Vrindavan Das has composed Chaitanya Mangal. Hearing this book will annihilate all misfortune. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the authoritative reference book from which to understand devotional service. But because it is very elaborate, very few men can understand its purpose. Srimad Bhagavatam is the original commentary of Vedanta Sutra, which is called Nyaya Prasthan. It was written to enable one to understand the absolute truth through infallible logic and argument, and therefore it is its natural commentary. Translation. In Chaitanya Mangala, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given the conclusion and essence of devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. If even a great atheist hears Chaitanya Mangal, he immediately becomes a great devotee. This is our hope. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken through the writings of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur Ki. Purport, Srila Sanatan Goswami has written in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, transcendental literature that strictly follows the Vedic principles and the conclusion of the Puranas and the Pantaratriki Vidhi can be written only by a pure devotee. It is not possible for a common man to write books on bhakti, for his writings will not be effective. He may be a very great scholar and expert in presenting literature in flowery language, but this is not at all helpful in understanding transcendental literature. Even if transcendental literature is written in faulty language, it is acceptable if it is written by a devotee. Whereas so-called transcendental literature is written by a mundane scholar, even if it is very highly polished literary presentation, cannot be accepted. The secret in a devotee's writing is that when he writes about the pastimes of the Lord helps him. He does not write himself. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamupayantate. Since a devotee writes in service to the Lord from within gives him so much intelligence that he sits down near the Lord and goes on writing books. Srila Prabhupada would often explain like this. Sometimes he would ask his devotees to read Krishna book to him, or other books as well. And he would be in so much pleasure. And he would explain with such an honest and humble heart that I did not write these books. Krishna has written these books. He has spoken and I have just moved my hand and put it to him. He has spoken through my mouth. Since a devotee writes in service to the Lord from within gives him so much intelligence that he sits down near the devotee and goes on writing books. Srila Prabhupada is explaining what's happening right when he's writing this purport. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami confirms that what Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote was actually spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he simply repeated it. The same holds true for Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita in his old age in an invalid condition. But it is such a sublime literature that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj used to say, the time will come when the people of the world will learn Bengali to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are trying to present Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in English and do not know how successful it will be. But if one reads the original Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali, he will relish increasing ecstasy in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada! Srila Prabhupada's great humility, but we understand in truth that when the shuka bird eats fruit, after he touches it with his beak, it becomes sweeter. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada's translations of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita are beyond the barriers of language, coming from the ocean of devotion for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his heart. It has become even sweeter, even in the English language. Translation. I offer millions of obeisances unto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. No one else could write such a wonderful book for the deliverance of all fallen souls. Narayani eternally eats the remnants of the foodstuffs of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born of her womb. Purport. In Gaura Ganodesh Dipika, a book written by Kavi Karnapur, describes all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who they previously were, is the following statement regarding Narayani. Lord Krishna was a child. He was nursed by a woman named Ambika, who had a younger sister named Kilambika. During the time of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, the same Kilambika used to eat the remnants of foodstuffs left by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Kilambika was Narayani, who was the niece of Srivas Thakur. Later on, when she grew up and married, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born from her womb. A devotee of Lord Sri Krishna is celebrated in terms of devotional service rendered to the Lord. Thus we know Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur as the son of Narayani. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur notes in this connection that there is no reference to his paternal ancestry because there is no need to understand it. Narayani ki
jai.
Vrindavan Das Thakur
jai.
Translation. What a wonderful description he has given of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Anyone in the three worlds who hears it is purified. I fervently appeal to everyone to adopt the method of devotional service given by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and thus be freed from the miseries of material existence and ultimately achieve the loving service of the Lord. Sri Gaura Nitai Ki Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has written Chaitanya Mangal and therein described in all respects the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He first summarized all the pastimes of the Lord and later described them vividly in detail. Chaitanya Mangal. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited and unfathomable. Therefore, in describing all those pastimes, the book became voluminous. Vrindavan Das Thakur saw them to be so extensive that he later felt that some had not been properly described. He ecstatically described the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. But the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained untold. The devotees of Vrindavan were all very anxious to hear those pastimes. In Vrindavan, in a great place of pilgrimage, underneath a desire tree, is a golden throne bedecked with jewels. Herein, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how the devotees of Vrindavan personally blessed him to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes in great elaboration, especially the final pastimes, the Antya-lila of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Antya-lila, begins after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Adi-lila is until he got initiated, and Antya-lila begins after he took sannyas. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya-lila, begins after Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas. And therefore he describes the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi in very great and deep elaborate words. And in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has so deeply gone into the explanation of the philosophy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is describing that whatever remnants were left remaining of Vrindavan Das Thakur's writings, he just picked up those remnants and tried to describe them. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my writing, but the dictation of Sri Madan Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. As a wooden doll is made to dance by a magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to do so. I accept as my family deity, Madan Mohan, whose worshippers are Raghunath Das, Sri Rupa, and Sanatan Goswami. I took permission from Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur by praying at his lotus feet, and upon receiving his order, I have attempted to write this auspicious literature. Purport. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami took permission not only from the Vaishnavas and Madan Mohan, but also from Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is understood to be the Vyas of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the authorized writer on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Without his mercy, therefore, no one can describe these pastimes. I am foolish, low-born, and insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment. Yet, by the order of the Vaishnavas, I am greatly enthusiastic to write this transcendental literature. The lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami are my source of strength. Remembering their lotus feet can fulfill all one's desires. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps. From Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, we hear the glories of Vrindavan Das Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. We are now sitting in that sacred place where Vrindavan Das Thakur received from within his heart the direct inspiration and information from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to write this most blessed and sacred literature. The deities on the altar to your left are Sri Sri Gaur Nitai and also another deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are the personal deities of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur that he worshipped as he was writing Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. On the altar to the right, there is Subhadra Devi, Lord Jagannath, and a deity of Shamsundar playing his flute. Those are also the original deities that Vrindavan Das Thakur worshipped while living here. The larger deities of Radha Krishna are named Gandharvika Giridhari, and they were personally installed here by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who has developed this wonderful Gaudiya Math temple on this holy site. And the deity under the altar is a murti of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, whom we have all come to worship and pray for the dust of his lotus feet. Thank you very much. This is the holy birthplace of Srila Vasudev Dutt. What can we say about Vasudev Dutt? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would speak about Vasudev Dutt, it appeared that he had 1,000 mouths. He could never come to an end of the glories of this devotee. Vasudev Dutt is the personification of the ultimate compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within this world. Vasudev Dutt was born in this place, and he lived here in Mamgachi, and was the brother of Mukunda Dutt, who was one of the most beautiful and sweet singers in Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. One year when Vasudev Dutt went to Jagannath Puri to meet with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing great love to his devotees one after another. And when he saw Vasudev Dutt, he embraced him. Lord Chaitanya embraced Vasudev Dutt with such affection and began to speak his glories to all the devotees as if he had 1,000 mouths. Vasudev Dutt felt very shy, embarrassed, and humble to hear the Lord praising him, and he spoke. Please listen to these words carefully. Vasudev Dutt said, "My Lord, you have incarnated in this world to deliver all living beings. I have one petition, that you satisfy my greatest and only desire in life. My Lord, you are the Supreme, and whatever you desire, you can fulfill. There is nothing that you cannot do. So please fulfill this one great desire in my heart. My heart is breaking in compassion to see the suffering souls in this world wasting their existence without Krishna consciousness. The eternal soul is part of Krishna. It is meant to be enjoying eternal lila with Krishna. When the soul is in this world, it suffers repeated birth and death and the threefold miseries due to one's karma. Vasudev Dutt explains, my heart is breaking upon seeing all the living entities within this universe suffering so miserably due to forgetfulness of you. Therefore, my prayer is this. Please, you liberate all of them. All the karma of every living being within this entire universe. Please place that karma on my head and let me suffer hellish existence perpetually for the rest of eternity. But please, by your power, take all these other souls back home, back to Godhead. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the nature of Vasudeva Datta's compassion is millions of times greater than practically any of the religious teachers of other faiths. That Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered for the sins of his own followers who were surrendering to him. But Vasudeva Datta wanted to suffer for the sins of every living being in the universe so that they can be with Krishna. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudeva Datta speaking in this way, he began to cry. His heart melted and his limbs began to tremble. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that what Vasudeva said, he meant to the core of his heart. He earnestly had only this desire that he could go to hell for eternity so that all other living beings can go back home, back to God. This quality is so pleasing to the Lord. It makes the Lord cry. And weeping, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exclaimed, "It is not astonishing to see this type of compassion in Vasudeva Datta, because he is none different than Prahlad Maharaj. And because of the nature of his compassion to other living beings, he has been completely blessed and empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna." But Lord Chaitanya said, "Krishna will always fulfill the desire of a devotee like you. But there is no need for you to take the karma of all living beings. Just by your pure desire that everyone go back to Godhead, they will all go back to Godhead. For Krishna, what is the loss of one universe? Everyone goes back to Godhead, what is the use of the universe?" Srila Prabhupada explains that the spirit soul is part of Krishna. And the spirit soul comes to this material world because he wants to enjoy maya, or illusion. As soon as he surrenders to the Lord and gives up that exploitative mentality, all of his sins are vanquished by the Lord himself. Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masucha. Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who you pray for, Vasudeva Datta, will become a Vaishnava and surrender to Krishna and go back to Godhead. He explains that there is the spiritual sky, which is three-fourths of existence. And then there is the Viraja River, which is the border between the spiritual and material existence. And on the other side of the Viraja River, on one side is the spiritual sky with innumerable Vaikuntha planets floating. And the Lord is living in each of those planets, reciprocating pure love with his devotees. On the other shore of Viraja is the causal ocean. And there are innumerable material universes floating in that. Lord Chaitanya explained, the whole material existence of Maya is like a pot filled with millions of mustard seeds. If one mustard seed falls out of that pot, who will know the difference? Similarly, even if this whole universe disappears due to your loving devotion, what will be the loss to Krishna? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised Vasudeva Datta with so much love. Often he would say, "My body is not mine. It is the property of Vasudeva Datta. In fact, I have sold myself to Vasudeva Datta. I am his property alone. And anywhere that he wants to sell me, I will be sold. But please know that I am Vasudev Dutt's man. I have come to this world simply due to the love of Vasudev Dutt. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeated the same message 3 different times. And he said, please, no one doubt this truth. Srila Vasudev Dutt ki jai! Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai! So we understand by this wonderful, wonderful reciprocation of love, what is the greatest service to the Supreme Personality of God? To show compassion to others. The Lord's mission in this world, when He descends, is to show compassion to others. What is the greatest service we can do while in this world? To show compassion to others. One who is willing to take sacrifice and accept pain and suffering to help others become Krishna conscious, that person melts the heart of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What greater goal should we aspire to achieve in our life? His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he taught us in this way. Don't try to be Babaji for your own spiritual advancement only. Because your spiritual advancement is depending not on your sadhana, but how you're pleasing the Lord. And the Lord has declared very clearly in this wonderful pastime how there is nothing that pleases Him more than making sacrifices to show compassion to others. And there's only one real compassion. That is inducing people to become more serious about Krishna consciousness. Krishna says in Gita, there is no one more dear to me than that person who teaches this message to others. This prayer should be the principle that we live by in our life. We are conditioned in this world to be so selfish. The whole propaganda of material energy that we are learning from the schools we learn in, from the families we live in, from the society around us, everyone is trying to teach you to be the enjoyer. To acquire more and be happy. But this conception is completely contrary to what's pleasing to God. What pleases Krishna? When we accept sacrifice to make others happy in Krishna consciousness, we find, why did Lord Chaitanya descend? Because Advaitacharya, Srivas, Haridas, Mukunda Dat, and all these devotees, they were weeping and praying and crying, Lord, please save these conditioned souls. We're already saved. We have the holy name of Krishna. We have each other. We have kirtan. We're happy. But we're miserable to see all these other millions of people suffering within this world in forgetfulness of you. And the people who are suffering the worst are the people who are puffed up with education and wealth and high birth, and they think they're enjoying and they're exploiting and misusing others. And they are being cheated of the real treasure of life. A foolish person, even if he's a devotee, becomes envious when he sees somebody else with material opulence. Why am I a devotee? I could have all that. If I didn't join this movement, I could have a PhD by now. And I could be living in a big house, and I can have cars and servants and money and prestige. Look at all my friends, my classmates. They're all big, big people now. They're abroad, living in America in nice houses. They have big, big educations and big jobs, and they're high posted. If I would have just stuck with it, I could have been like them, but now I'm just eating some rice and dal and sitting in the tunnel, trying to get my rounds done. We should never think like this. We should never be envious of people who are shackled by the chains of Maya in the form of material acquirements. Because the purpose of life is to please God, not to please our senses, not to please our mind, not to be comfortable. Tapo divyam putrika yena satvam. Human life is meant for tapasya, not to be comfortable. I'm sure many of you right now are not very comfortable. But we should not think in those terms. We have to battle against our mind when it starts thinking, I, me, mine. I am this body. This body is me. And whatever I can get to enjoy is mine. We should think in terms that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And what is mine? The chance to serve. And what is the greatest service? To make sacrifices to help others become Krishna conscious. To help Krishna with his mission in this world. By doing Harinam Sankirtan. By distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. By contributing to the temple and to the preachers. By preaching to others. By setting a very, very first-class example in our own life of simplicity of devotion. This is how we can help others become Krishna conscious. And what is a greater austerity than all of these things? To cooperate with each other. Very severe austerity. It's much easier to go to the Himalayas and live in a cave all alone and live with snakes and scorpions and fast than to get along with others. Because that is the nature of the false ego. I know in my own life, I lived in Himalayas with snakes and scorpions and jungles. It was so nice. Then I moved into a temple and I had to get along with others. And I thought, this is really austerity. But this austerity is pleasing to Krishna. The other austerity is just part of a mechanical process. And if we learn to cooperate so that we can together perform the greatest service of showing compassion to others, we can melt Lord Chaitanya's heart. We can make him cry in happiness. That should be the goal of our life. Here in this place, at the appearance of Srila Vasudeva Das, we should fall on the ground of this dust of this holy place. And we should pray to Srila Vasudeva Das. We should pray to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Please, take away my selfish ambitions in life. Take away all my conditions. We have so many conditions which influence our devotional service. If I have this, if I get this, if I feel like this, then I will do. This movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us to be unconditional servants of the Lord, with or without facilities. The only facility we require is the desire to serve. Vasudeva Das was so compassionate that he would earn money and he would just give it all away. Whatever he gave, he would just give it, give it, give it, give it, give it. Lord Chaitanya one time told Shivananda Sen, please be his treasurer. How will he survive? Whatever he gets, he just gives away. You keep his accounts and make sure that he keeps enough for his own survival. Lord Chaitanya was not saying, please give more. He said, please keep some. That was the nature of Vasudeva Das. He just wanted to give his life. He just wanted to give anything he had. He just wanted to give it for the benefit of others. No consideration, no concern. And what was the result? He was in transcendental ecstasy at all times. In his suffering due to seeing the sufferings of others, Krishna was giving him the ultimate ecstasy. And therefore, such a soul as Vasudev Dutt could 24 hours a day chant the holy name. This beautiful forest we are sitting in is a very appropriate place for all of us to evaluate and reevaluate our perceptions and our motivations in life. What do you want? What do you hold as valuable? What are you struggling to achieve? Please ask these questions. Are all your desires in life centered around making a sacrifice to help others become Krishna conscious? Or is there another factor? What do you want? Do you want Krishna? Or do you want the repetition of birth and death and a few little decorations to enjoy between deaths and births? Srila Prabhupada taught us this. Just work together. Just be united to push on this Krishna consciousness. It is the Sankirtan movement where together we have come to broadcast the glories of the chanting of the holy names. By our simplicity in life, by our exemplary behavior, by our strong sadhana, by our loving service to the Vaishnavas, and our willing to sacrifice. That is the essence of life. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Lord Chaitanya himself left his aged mother and his beautiful young wife to take sannyas just to show compassion to the fallen souls. So let us, in this place, take a little time to research our own hearts and motivations and pray at the lotus feet of the Lord, Guru and Vaishnavas, and especially Sri Vasudev Dutt, to cleanse our hearts of all of these inartas, and to make our lives a sacrificial offering for the pleasure of the Lord. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki!
Srila Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the conditioned soul is encircled by five very thick walls which hinder its free movement. The first wall around us is avidya, or ignorance of our eternal being. The next wall is called asmita. Smita means to smile, and asmita means there's nothing to smile about. Another translation is called false ego. The next wall is the wall of raga, which means attachment. And the fourth wall is the wall of dvesha, which means rejection or aversion. And finally, the fifth wall is called abhinivesh, and abhinivesh means total absorption in material life. Let me summarize. Imagine you yourself as being enwrapped in five powerful walls. You are a prisoner. You cannot move. No one can hear you. This is the existence of a conditioned soul. We are covered with ignorance, false ego, attachments and aversions, and finally deep absorption in material life. These are five walls around us which imprison us. All these five walls are really described in one word, which is of selfishness. If you do not break through the walls, if you do not become free from this imprisonment, it will be very difficult to ever become a real spiritual person or a devotee. To make things easy for us, let us listen to this story. It's a story about most of us, I would say. Once there was a monk, and once there was a spiritual lady, we can say, who lived in the Himalayan mountains and meditated for 6 years, but no spiritual advancement happened. So this monk, or if you like, the spiritual lady, left the Himalayas to go back into the village. On the way, he found a man who had a thread made from silk, and he was rubbing like this through the on an iron stick. So the monk said, "What are you doing there?" Oh, he said, "I'm trying to saw through the iron bar with a silken thread." "Oh," said the monk, "you are very patient." "I should also be so patient, and not give up after 6 years of meditation." And he went back into his cave in the Himalayas and continued for another 6 years his meditation. But he did not feel any spiritual feelings in his heart, so he left the Himalayas again to join ordinary worldly life. But on the way, he found a little mouse who was gnawing at a stone which had fallen before its mouse hole. "What are you doing there?" said the monk. And the mouse answered, "Peep." "Peep is something in the mouse language he couldn't understand." By observing clearly what the mouse was doing, he found out that the mouse tried to eat through the rock so that she could again enter into her mouse hole. It had also a selfish motive. So the man thought, "This is a very good illustration. I should not give up after 12 years of meditation by now, because even the mouse has so much patience that she is willing to spend enough time to disassemble a rock." And again went to meditate in the mountains. But nothing, no freedom from attachment, he was thinking like an ordinary man, nothing happened. So finally, after 12 years of meditation, he decided to give up. He decided to bloop. So he went back into his village. It was evening time, and all the people were preparing to go down to their beddings to sleep. He went over the road, and there he saw a dog who was crying piteously. Half of his hind legs had been broken by some bullock cart which drove over it when he was sleeping, and there was pus, and no one was helping the dog in its complete pain. And for the first time in his life, he felt something which was going to change his whole life. He felt, this poor dog, he is suffering, pus is coming, he is at the brink of death. So he went to the river, he got some water and he put it before the dog. And the dog helplessly acknowledged this deed and yipped some sound, and then he was drinking it. The man thought, oh, I have helped someone. What a nice feeling I have in my heart. He immediately went back to the river and he put immediately more water before the dog. For a little while made. But then, mysteriously, the dog turned into a great saint. And he said, my dear selfish monk, you have now learned the lesson. I know that you could not make any spiritual advancement because you were only thinking about how can I feel better by making my mind. But now that you have thought about someone who was not you, some other being, now you are ready to make advancement. Go and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and become a merciful well-wisher for this poor suffering souls. And you will please the Supreme Lord, and by doing that you will break through the prison of I, me and mine. You will break through ignorance, false ego and material attachments just by becoming a compassionate worker in the mission of the Lord. In the Bhagavatam there is a verse which says there is no better way of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead than by showing compassion to others. Now, because I want to show compassion to you and not hold you back from eating prasadam, I will only make three more short points. How to show compassion? What is necessary if we want to show compassion to others? It's not easy, be rest assured. Because when you sometimes preach and want to help others, the people bite into your hand. They call you a sect member, thankless. In India, I can also understand, they make jokes about you. And so, if you want to also follow the example of Vasudev Datta, you must learn 3 points, minimum. First point is, you must understand the sufferings of others. If you do not understand the sufferings of others, something will happen what I saw yesterday. Yesterday there was a little baby who was crying in the boat because he was afraid of driving over the river. And his father was going to place the baby on the leg and, you know, went very fast like this. Taratari, you know, very, very jolly, very fast. And the baby was crying more and more and more because the father couldn't understand what was the baby suffering. He should have just gently waved him and said Hare Krishna in his ear, and then maybe he would have stopped. I'm not an expert with babies. I really noticed this first point. You must understand the person whom you're trying to help. Otherwise you increase his misery. In order to show compassion, a deep spiritual vision is necessary. I thought it was very relevant when His Holiness Raranath Maharaj told us how much these people are suffering. A person, even if he is rich, a person who does not come back to Krishna consciousness in this life, he will see the Yamadutas. They will bind a noose around his head. They will drag him over a road to hellish situations, and there will be dogs who will bite him at every step. When a person in this Kali Yuga is not becoming Krishna consciousness, he will engage in so many sinful activities. And as a result, spears will be put into his body. For illicit sex life, which the Kali Yuga people are very desirous of doing, they will be forced to embrace a red hot iron doll. And they will try and they will be burned by this red hot iron doll on their private parts. What is suffering? When people don't become Krishna conscious, they will be again entering into a womb of another mother. And they will be surrounded by the intestines of this mother. They will be pressured. It's a situation to become crazy with. If we would put a plastic bag about you and make it very tight, and you wouldn't be able to go out, you would suffer psychoneurosis. And it's a very intense suffering. If people don't become Krishna consciousness, there will be misery around them. So we need to understand this and need to be convinced of this, that material life is suffering. The next step which we must do in our mind is we must decide to do something against it. If we just shrug our shoulders and say, this is their business, I mean, that's a private business, let them go to hell. We won't be able to show compassion. We must resolve in our hearts, I'm going to help. I know the solution by the mercy of my spiritual master and of Krishna, and I must try to save them. And the third thing is, we must actually make a realistic plans how to spread the Sankirtan movement. If you think every day, I'm going to do something to help others, you will be in the school of compassion. You will learn more and more and more. Let us on this day really pray to Vasudev Datta to become compassionate workers in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It will be good for the world and it will also be good for us. It will be good for the world because there are many souls out there who can take to Krishna consciousness, and it will be good for us because when we are compassionate, we will break out of this prison which has these five powerful walls. Hare Krishna, let us end here, and please, if it did not work the first time to pray at this place, please let us do this here. Let us bow down into the dust of this place, which is saturated with the compassion of Vasudev Datta, and pray that some of it enters our selfish minds. Srila Vasudev Datta ki jai! Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Gopremanandi Hari Bol!